26. The Monk. Alexander stole clothes and shoes from the back of a wagon on his way into Polvost. Finding the Starless had been more difficult than he'd anticipated, and he was growing weary of the march. He bent beside a stream to drink, but he didn't need to waste time hunting. He wasn't hungry. He remembered how Elisaveta had craved sensation, the taste of wine, the touch of skin, the feel of soft earth beneath her feet. Alexander cared for none of this. He only wished that it wasn't winter. He wanted to turn his face to the sun and feel it warm him. The cold frightened him now. It felt like death, like the long silence of not being, without a sense of time or place. Only the understanding that he must hold on, that someday there would be an end to the terrible stillness. He'd been a long time in the dark. But eventually, he realized that he was growing weak. Yori's body needed sustenance, and so he made his way to a beer hall in Shura. Alexander had no money, but he offered to chop wood and fix the roof in exchange for a meal. The young men of the town were already gone, back in uniform, readying to face the Fjärdins. "And what do you think of the King's War?" he asked a group of old men gathered on the porch. The great-grandfather who answered was so wizened, he looked more walnut than man.
"Our Nikolai didn't ask for a war, but if it's what them cold northern bastards want, he'll give it to them."
His wrinkled companions spat onto the wooden slats.
"You'll be kissing the icy asses of those northern bastards when they march through. We don't have the tanks and guns the Fjärdins have, and sending our children to die won't change that." "You're saying we should just let them drop bombs on our cities?"
On and on it went, the same old story. But they did love their king.
"You'll see. He'll find a way out of this trap, same as the last. The too clever fox always does."
Alexander wondered if they'd actually read that particular story. He seemed to recall it had a very bloody end. The fox had lost his hide to the hunter's knife. Or maybe he'd been rescued. Alexander couldn't recall. He sat at the end of a table in the beer hall, ate tough rye bread and strips of lamb stewed so long they tasted like they'd already been chewed. This was what it meant to be alive. Elisaveta should count herself lucky. To think Zoya had been the one to kill her. He supposed it saved him the trouble of doing it himself. And if Zoya ever learned to harness the power she'd been given? She was still vulnerable, still malleable. Her anger made her easy to control. When this war was done and the casualties counted, she might once more be in need of a shepherd. She had been one of his best students and soldiers, her envy and her rage driving her to train and fight harder than any of her peers. And then she'd turned on him. Like Jenya. Like Alina. Like his own mother. Like all of Ravka. "She will return to you." He didn't want Yori's sympathy. He drank sour beer and listened to the customers' gossip. All the talk was of the war, the bombing of Olsalta, and of course, the blight that had vexed the king and his general so.
"Pilgrims camped in Gaena. They tried to set up their blasted black tents here, but we drove them out. We'll have none of that unholy talk.
They say the blight's a punishment for not making the Darkling a saint."
"Well, I say make him a saint if it will bring that pasture back to life. Where am I supposed to graze my cattle? If he can get my lazy husband out of bed, I'll make a pilgrimage to the fold myself."
Gaena. At last, he had word of the Starless. He finished his awful meal and ducked out of the beer hall, but not before he'd used his shadows to help him snatch a pair of spectacles from one of the tables. As he walked, he let Yuri's features return to the fore, the long face, the weak chin. No beard, of course, he was no tailor, and the weak body would remain in exile, too. Alexander would need every bit of his strength. He placed the spectacles on his nose. He would have to look over the lenses. Yuri's faulty eyesight from all those years bent over books was another thing he didn't care to restore. He could feel the boy's elation at the prospect of rejoining the faithful.
This is my purpose. This is the reason for all of it.
Yuri wasn't wrong. Everyone had a part to play. Alexander found the Starless camped under a bridge like a gathering of trolls, their black banners raised over their tents. He took quick stock of their defenses and assets. It was a surprisingly young group, and almost all men, all of them dressed in black, many in tunics clumsily embroidered with his symbol, the sun in eclipse. He spotted a mule, a few scrawny horses, a box covered with a tarp in a wagon. A weapons cache, he assumed. This was what he had to work with? He wasn't sure what he'd expected. If not an army, then the makings of one. But not this pathetic gathering.
I shouldn't have left them, Yuri again.
His presence was more insistent now, as if allowing the little monk's features to emerge had made Yuri's voice stronger, less a single gnat than a swarm of them.
Yuri?
A barrel-chested man with a salt-and-pepper beard approached. Alexander searched for his name and Yuri's memories provided it.
Chernov!
He was swept up in a musty, muscular embrace that nearly lifted him off his toes. It was like being hugged by a bearskin rug badly in need of cleaning.
We feared you were dead,
Chernov cried.
We heard you were traveling with the apostate king and then not a word from you.
I have returned.
Chernov frowned.
You sound different. You look different.
Alexander knew better than to try to make excuses. Instead, he grabbed Chernov's arm and met his gaze.
I am different, Chernov.
How many are gathered here?
At last count, we had 32 of the faithful. But we're feeding a few travelers who have not yet found the Starless Path.
We are?
Valuable resources squandered.
We are, said Chernov. Just as you preached, all are equal in the dark.
He had to stop himself from laughing. Instead, he nodded and repeated the words with fervor.
All are equal in the dark.
Chernov led him through camp, and Alexander greeted those who seemed to recognize him as an old friend. If they only knew. As they walked, he inquired casually about the other places the cult of the Starless Saint had taken hold. By Chernov's count, the cult's following had swelled to nearly 1,000 pilgrims. A meager number, but it was a start.
We've decided to head south to warmer climes. Get away from the northern border. We don't want to get caught in the crossfire when the fighting breaks out.
And then?
Chernov smiled.
And then we continue the good work of spreading the Darkling's name and championing his sainthood. Once King Nikolai is deposed, Vadik Demidov will be crowned and we will petition.
Demidov will be a Fjordan puppet.
What do we care for politics of that kind?
You'll care when they stack Grisha on the pyre.
Grisha?
Alexander had to work to hide his anger.
Was not the Darkling a Grisha?
He was a saint.
There is a difference.
What has come over you, Yuri?
Alexander smiled, regrouping.
Forgive me, I only meant that we may still find new followers among the Grisha.
Chernov clapped him on the back.
A worthy goal once the war is over.
He contemplated tearing Chernov's arm from its socket. Instead, he shifted his approach.
But what of the apparat?
The priest will return to Ravka with Demidov, will he not? He's fought the Darkling's sainthood at every turn.
We believe we can win him to our cause in time.
This is all wrong.
On that, Yuri and Alexander could agree. Yuri had been a member of the Apparat's priest guard for a time. He'd watched the Apparat side first with the Sun Saint and then with no one at all, waiting for Alina and the Darkling to wage their battles as he and his followers stayed safely underground. The Starless shouldn't be content to plead for scraps from the priest's hand, no matter what sway he held with Vravka's people.
"The sun will be setting soon," Chernoff said,
as the Starless gathered facing to the west.
"You're just in time for services. Brother Azeroth will be speaking."
"No," said Alexander. "I will speak." Chernoff blinked.
Perhaps it would be best to take some time to settle in, to reacquaint yourself with..."
Alexander didn't wait to hear the rest. He strode to the front of the congregation and heard a few murmurs of Yuri and Brother Videnon from those who had not yet seen him in the camp. Others were strangers, people who had joined the Starless after Yuri had left their ranks.
"Brother Azeroth,"
Alexander said, approaching the young man with yellow hair who was preparing to speak. He had the pallor and charisma of a glass of milk.
"Brother Videnon, I'm so pleased to see you again. Your preaching was sorely missed, but I've been trying my hand at it.
Chernoff has an urgent matter he wants you to attend to."
"He does?"
"Indeed. Extremely urgent. Go on now."
He strode past Brother Azeroth and took his place where he belonged, in front of the crowd. Alexander looked out over their faces, confused but eager, waiting for someone to give them something to believe in, a spark of the divine.
"I will give you a conflagration. I will give you a new name for fire."
Yuri's joy coursed through him. The boy had been a preacher himself. He understood this exaltation.
"Some of you know me," he said, his voice carrying over the crowd as the light from the setting sun turned golden and washed over their faces.
He heard them react to his unfamiliar voice with whispers and gasps.
"I am not the man I was. I traveled to the fold, and there I was visited by the Starless One himself."
"A vision?"
asked Chernoff, amid the startled exclamations of the crowd.
"What did you see?"
"I saw the future.
I saw how we are best meant to serve the cause of the Starless One. And it is not to live as cowards."
Troubled murmurs rose from the pilgrims.
"We will not march south. We will not hide from this war."
Chernoff took a step forward.
"Yuri, you cannot mean that. We have never troubled ourselves with politicians and their games."
"This is no game. The Apparat betrayed the Darkling. He fought against naming him a saint. He allies himself with Ravka's enemies. But you would go to ground, trembling like animals without teeth or claws."
"So that we may survive."
"So that we can run back to a corrupt priest when he joins Demidov's court. So that we can return to begging for his notice by chanting outside the city gates. We were meant for more."
He met the eyes of those watching him, exchanging angry whispers.
"No doubt some of you joined this group for the very purpose of avoiding battle. You didn't want to pick up a gun, so you put on a robe and carried the Starless banner. I will tell you right now, we do not want you here."
"Yuri,"
cried Chernoff,
"this is not our way."
Alexander wanted to cut him down where he stood, but it was not yet time to show his true power. He'd endured lifetimes of hiding just how strong he was. He could wait a little longer. He spread his hands wide.
"You are afraid. I understand that. You are not soldiers.
Neither am I.
And yet the Darkling spoke to me. He promised that he would return, but only if we make a stand in his name."
"What are you suggesting?"
Brother Azeroth asked, his face fearful.
"We march north, toward the border."
"Toward the war," he sputtered.
Alexander nodded. He didn't intend to waste his time traveling from village to village, winning over tiny congregations with parlor tricks. No, he required a moment of spectacle, something grand with plenty of witnesses. He would stage his return on the field of battle with thousands of Hrafkin and Tverdin soldiers as his audience. There, Yuri's transformation from humble monk to chosen savior would be completed. There, Alexander would teach them all. The Tverdins were better armed and better provisioned, and when young King Nikolai faltered, as he inevitably would, then and only then would the Darkling return and show Hrafka what strength really looked like. He would save them. He would offer them a miracle. And he would become saint, father, protector, king.
Yuri, said Chernov,
you ask too much.
I ask nothing, said Alexander, spreading his arms wider.
It is the Starless One who gives this command.
Shadows began to bleed from his palms. The crowd cried out,
you must decide how you will answer.
He threw his head back, letting the shadows billow out over the crowd. They went to their knees. He heard sobbing. He was fairly sure Brother Azeroth had fainted.
Will you run to the south, or will you carry our saints' banners north? He demanded of the crowd. How will you answer the Starless One?
North, they cried. North!
They clung to one another, weeping, as the shadows blocked out the setting sun.
I'm sorry I doubted you, Chernov said, approaching with tears in his eyes.
Alexander smiled, letting the shadows recede. He placed a hand on Chernov's shoulder.
Don't apologize, brother. You and I are going to change the world.